Glory. God's good. Yeah. Amen. 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 Get to move my table around. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know if you like that testimony. I like that testimony. Praise the Lord. Blessing to me. God is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. And he will bring to us that which we need to hear, that which we need to know.
Yes.
I'm thankful for the fact that we can bring testimonies like that to you and show you it is a process and it takes time to learn these things. And we're going to get into this even a little bit more maybe this morning. Turn with me. Let's just look at the word here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. We're thankful for God's help today, right?
Yes.
You know, the interesting thing about ministering sometimes is that you have to feed on it ahead of time. So for several days now, I've been meditating on this passage and some things, and it's been correcting me. I'll just say that. So I'm just going to keep preaching to myself this morning.
Yes, cool.
And you all get to listen in. And I'm not preaching this at anybody for any particular reason except that I needed to hear it this week, apparently. And it's still stepping on my toes. So you get to just come into my world for a little bit today, okay? And
Amen.
And if you want to take it for yourself and put it into your life, that's great. If you are tempted to be offended at what we start talking about, then just put it on the shelf and walk out the door and pretend you didn't hear it. That's fine by me, but I'm going to take it as the food that I need.
Yes, cool.
Praise the Lord for living with God on the earth. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew 25, you know, in Matthew, well, in all the Gospels, we have some Jesus. He ministered some interesting things.
Yes.
When he was on the earth. And many times, not all the time, but many times when he was ministering to the masses or just ministering to his disciples, he would minister in parables.
Yeah.
He would tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
He would say things like, the kingdom of God is like.
Right.
And then he'd tell a story about the natural world to compare the spiritual realm.
Yes.
And we all like stories. Stories are great. But some of Jesus's stories were a little tough to process.
Yeah.
So much so that a lot of times, if he was ministering to the masses, when the disciples got alone with him later, they're like, Master, what did you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And so even today, when we read through these parables, when we come to the word, we need to come prayerfully.
Yes. Wow.
We don't just come and read and decide we know what, oh, I know, I got that. No, there's, with the word of God, in any aspect of scripture, there's layers of revelation that we can receive from his word. And we want to make sure that we come with an open heart, with humility, realizing, Lord, I don't have it all together yet. I don't have everything perfectly in place yet. There's more for me to see. There's more for me to know. And I'm open for you to show me and help me. And he'll show us and help us in our personal time, in our prayer life, when we're reading the word. But he'll show us and bring things to us through our pastor, through the men and women of God that are in our lives. He will bring things to us to bring us up, to help us improve, and to bring us to different places, because God has more for us, spiritually speaking. But he can't always deliver more spiritually if there's things that are lacking naturally. So, we're going to read this that Jesus said. Hallelujah. And he's talking about the kingdom of God in verse 14. He says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." I don't know. I see the word traded. I think stock market. But obviously, that wasn't what they had back then. But whatever he did it wisely. Yeah. And he made 5 more talents. So he has 10 total. "So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over what?
A little.
And I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what's yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I haven't sown and gather where I scattered no seed.'" So he's asking, that's actually got a question mark on it, which is interesting, isn't it? You knew that I reaped where I have not sown? You knew that? And you gather whether I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Does this excite anybody like it excites me? I was like, "Lord, really?" You know, there's just, the fact is, as many scriptures in the Bible as like the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it, as many verses like that are in the scripture, we have verses like this.
Yes.
Like, "You wicked and slothful servant, why didn't you do anything with what I gave you?"
Right.
And I'll be honest, some of these parables through the years have bothered me. Because if Jesus is comparing this master to the kingdom of God, and this servant said, I knew you to be a wicked man who sowed where you didn't sow and who reaped where you weren't supposed to reap. I'm like, "But God, you're not wicked. So what's the deal?" And then I noticed that question mark.
Yeah.
And it changed everything for me. Because he wasn't agreeing that he was wicked. He said, "You think I was wicked? You think I was sowing where I was reaping where I didn't sow? If you really thought that, You shouldn't have just hid the talent. In other words, you should have had more wisdom than that if you really thought that's what my character was. Isn't that interesting? So whether the master was wicked or not, that's not the issue that Jesus is bringing out, right?
Yep.
At all. Mm-hmm. The issue is, what are you doing with what the master gave you? Even if it's a little.
Yes, what are you doing with what he gave
you? Even if it's what seems like a drop in the bucket compared to what other people have. What are we doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say it again. The Spirit was getting on me, so I'm just sharing what he's been showing me. If we don't take care of what he's given us,
yes,
and protect and guard and value that which he's put in our lives, we can't expect to increase and grow and receive more. There are many, many, many Christians who say, Lord, show me more of you. I mean, last week, didn't we talk about show me more of your glory, right?
Yes, yes.
But wasn't Moses quite faithful with what the Lord had given him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
40 years in the desert.
Yeah.
Learning from him.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving from him. Becoming the meek man that he needed to be in order to see God's glory. So we see there's this other side. I love to talk about the blessing of the Lord, and it's real.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. But there are measures of blessing that come to you as we qualify for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's such a balance here, because we all understand that salvation comes by grace, right?
Yes.
We're saved by grace through faith.
Yeah.
It's unearned. We can't work our way to heaven.
Amen.
We can't
right.
earn our place with God.
Right.
Help us.
But once we've received Jesus and been born again and filled with his glorious Holy Spirit and are functioning as part of his body on this earth,
yes.
the things we do on this earth matter.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
What God's given to us, it matters that we esteem it, that we honor it, that we value it, that we treasure it, that we take care of it.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good.
And so we want to make sure that we stay balanced in our walk with God. Yes, we seek his presence, we seek his glory, but that which he has entrusted to us, we can't just ditch it in the back seat and go do our own natural life.
Right.
And then try to pick that back up and come to Sunday church. Say, okay, I'm going to be spiritual today. And then throw it. And you know what I'm saying? Because people do that with their Bible, right? They throw it in the back seat. And then next Sunday morning, they're like, it's church. Let's see, where's the Bible? I better find it. And it's still in the same place they found it. Because they haven't valued or taken care of that which God has entrusted with them with.
Amen.
Throughout the week.
Yeah.
And then they start to wonder, well, I'm not really receiving anything in that church. I need to go to a different place. I need to do something different. When really, it's what have we done with what God's given us?
Oh my goodness. Amazing.
Yeah.
Truth.
Like I said, I'm not preaching at you. I'm just sharing what God showed me. And
preach it.
Praise the Lord, because it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to forget,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes we just need a little reminder. When my kids were little, I didn't just let them do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. right? We bless them with things. Christmas is coming right up, right? Kids are going to want some presents and different things. But we also taught them how to take care of those things once they were received.
Yes.
I remember one time when we had gone away and our kids were, they were old enough at this point. We were actually here in Colorado. They were old enough to stay home by themselves for a few days. So they were both in high school. We went to California for a meeting. It was a short meeting, like 3 days, so we weren't gone that too terribly long. We came home, and our house was a disaster. I mean, it looked close to what a tornado scene would have looked like. I don't think I'm exaggerating. Maybe the mom in me is taking it up a little bit of a level, but I mean, their rooms looked like explosions had gone on. Yeah. The kitchen, nothing had been cleaned. Just look straight ahead, if you know. And so the Holy Spirit helped me to deal with this situation. We had a family meeting. Sat everybody down at the table, the kitchen table, and I apologized to my children. And you're like, what? No, I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. Apparently, I have not been a good mother.
Right.
Because if I had done my job properly, I wouldn't have come home to a mess. And this was while they were in school. I had gone in their rooms, and I had picked up and put in garbage bags every single item of clothing that was on their floor. And I said, I have garbage bags full of your clothing. And I said, and anything else I find on your floor from now, because it was before Christmas, so from now until Christmas, anything I find on your floor, it's going in the garbage bag, and you will receive it back under the Christmas tree as your gift.
Instead of a present.
Why? Because I'm a parent training my children that they must learn to take care of what's been given them or they will not receive more. I was not planning to tell that story.
Oh, come on.
Praise the
amazing.
Lord. But my kids aren't here, so, you know, that's what happens, comes out. So I said, I want to apologize to you because apparently I have not been a good enough parent to train you how to take care of what God has blessed us with in this family. Because our kitchen is part of God's property. Your clothing is part of God's property. Praise the Lord. I was serious. I considered myself at fault because of their conduct. And Jesus was saying, the master's coming back, and he's going to look and see what you've done with what he's given. And don't be surprised if he's unhappy. Praise the Lord. It's so quiet in here. It's making me nervous. Well, like I said, I've been walking around with this for several days now. So I'm just sharing with you what he's dealing with me about. And so with my kids, there were certain things they had to do. And if they did those things, they would earn their clothes back through the, it must have been maybe October we were gone. And so we had several months. And one of my children, I'll just say it this way, one of my children was very diligent to get their clothes back because they were concerned about their clothes. The other child was not so concerned. We'll call his name Josh. Was not so concerned about what he looked like. And therefore didn't necessarily work quite so diligently to receive back all that he had because he didn't care. But the point is, as a parent, their lack of care for that which they had been blessed with was not okay. It was more than bothersome. It was ungodly. And it reflected, their actions reflected on me as a parent. And so we all learned a lesson that year. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And they did receive some presents. Praise the Lord. But they never forgot that lesson. I've never forgot that lesson. And I'll let you know, that wasn't just me being, I was completely calm when we had this discussion. I told it to them just like I told it to you. I apologized, and I might have even had tears in my eyes because I took it that seriously, mm-hmm. not because I'm a drama queen. And we all learned that God cares how we treat our stuff because it's what he's blessed us with. Praise the Lord. Yes, kids, you might want to go clean up your rooms. Glory to God. But parents, we might want to go clean up. I walks out. That's cue that. All right, that's awesome. No, but listen, I'm telling you, I mean, I walked into my garage yesterday and thought, oh Lord, please don't make me preach about this parable, because there are things in my life that don't look as godly as they need to look. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. So I'm talking to myself about there's things that I need to align. Why? Because God can't entrust us with more.
Yes.
If we won't take care of what we have.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you might think, well, I just want more spiritually. Yes, me too. And you know what he's dealt with me to do? Take care of my natural stuff. Praise the Lord. I believe it was Jesus who also said, if you won't be faithful with unrighteous mammon or money, how can we be blessed with true riches, which is spiritual things? Mm-hmm. Yikes. Sorry, it's in the Word, so here we are. It's part of the Scripture. And so this morning, yes, it's December, and I'd love to preach on Mary or Gabriel or, you know, something Christmassy would be awesome. But we're also coming up on a new year, which doesn't mean a whole lot for God, but for us as human beings, we mark our lives sometimes by calendar years or by our age. And, you know, we can take some time sometimes and look where have we come from this year? What have we accomplished? What have we done? And, you know, sometimes we hesitate to preach these things because there are some of us who are more on the perfectionist side, right? And we'll beat ourselves up like, you should have done better. You should do more. Da, da, da. And that's not what Jesus was saying when he's saying this, right? He's not saying you got to go beat yourself up and do more and work harder. But then there's those other folks. I tend to be more on the beat myself up side, but there's other folks that, you know, it is what it is, whatever. If I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. Like my son with his clothes, he doesn't care. Whatever. I can wear the same pair of jeans every day. I don't care. Well, that's not the right attitude either, right?
That's not the right attitude.
They're somewhere in the middle, guys, where the Lord wants us to be, where we're not walking around nervous and upset with ourselves, but we are interested in taking care of that which God has given us.
Yes.
If it's our marriage, we're interested. Yeah. Why did we start talking about increasing and upgrading some things that represent our marriage? Because we're interested in that. We're interested in taking things to the best level, to move with God and to have His goodness exemplified and shown through our lives. But if we didn't take care of the first, if I didn't take care of the first string, then I, you know, how do you get to the next one? Right? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I hope this is helping us today. Glory to God. Would you turn with me? You can hang with me for a little bit, right? Turn with me to Genesis. Oh, boy. Thank you, Father. The problem with the man, Genesis, we'll go to chapter 2. The problem with the man with the one talent, and it depends when you look, a talent, when, in the study guide, when I look at it, it says that a talent was worth 20 years of a day laborer's wages. So a day laborer, you might think of, I mean, just think of like the lowest, you know, minimum wage type of job. That times a full year times 20. That's what a talent was. So even when we say he just got one talent, it was still a lot of money for a servant, right? And to just bury it. To just get nervous and say, well, I don't know what to do with it. So not even ask the guy with 10 talents, hey, what are you doing with your money? You know, not even try to be a good steward with what he had because of how he thought about his master. Not because he was inadequate, not because he was, you know, a nincompoop or, you know, a buffoon and couldn't think for himself because of how he thought about his master. Well, he's a hard man, so I better not do anything that ruins this thousand that it gave me. I better just keep it. How we think about our Father, how we think about the kingdom of God, how we think about the body of Christ, it affects how we treat everything in our lives.
Amen.
And we're going to see that with Adam here. Adam, of course, Adam and Eve, first man and woman on the earth, right?
Yes.
We see humanity start here. We see God's original intention. And in chapter 2, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Chapter 1, verse 26. I hear everyone's like, where is she? Chapter 1, verse 26. Are we there? Glory to God. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing. Thank God we have dominion over creeping things that creep. And verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. We see that. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got a man, and then he creates a woman. They're created in the image of God. And in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To work it and to keep it. To work it and to keep it. This is amazing. God creates what is called the Garden of Eden. It has any provision that the man would ever need, ever. It's all there.
Yes.
Everything he needs, provided for, taken care of. It must have been the perfect temperature because they walked around naked.
Hello.
I mean, they had no clothes, and it must have just always been the perfect climate, right? I'm just saying. I mean, Everything was provided for. I like shopping, so, you know, clothes are good for me. But, you know, that's where they were. Everything, gold, silver, jewelry, praise the Lord. It was all, anything that they would need, it was provided for. And yet, he gave Adam a job.
Yes.
Just because God gave it doesn't mean Adam didn't have to work it.
Help us. Come on.
Amen.
Adam's job was to work it and keep it. That word keep means guard it, protect it. That was his job. Protect what God has given you. Put a fence around it. Put a barbed wire around there. Make sure that nothing that isn't supposed to come in comes in. Make sure that nothing that isn't supposed to go out goes out. You got to guard what God's entrusted to you.
Yes.
He gave mankind a garden full of everything that they would need. But because Adam and Eve didn't think right about their master, they lost it all.
They lost it all.
Again, I've been chewing on this for a few days, and I'm like been walking around like trembling in my boots a little bit. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman," first of all, how did he get in? He came in the garden because somebody wasn't guarding the garden correctly.
Amen.
He said to the woman, "Did God actually say?" How do you lose some stuff that God's provided for you, that God's blessed you with? You start listening to the enemy's thoughts. Did God actually mean that the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and he adds no sorrow to it? And he'll start talking to you the minute you walk out the door, sometimes before that, right? As soon as the scripture said, he'll start talking to you and say, I don't know that it actually means that. Oh, praise the Lord. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Well, of course God didn't say that. We didn't actually read what God said. But he told him there was one tree that you can't eat of, right? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, or lest you die." God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat it. So already she's messed up what God said. But the serpent said in verse 4 to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and also gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate. Sorry, guys, we can't say, well, Adam can't say, well, I didn't know. I wasn't there. He was there. His job, guard, protect, keep that garden. Don't let things come in. The problem was he didn't know what he was supposed to be guarding from, right? And he just let any old thing come in and start talking to his wife and start talking to him. And the enemy came and said, "God knows if you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like him." Problem is, we just read in chapter 1, right? where God said, let us make man in our image.
Yes.
They already were, just like God. They had been made in his image. And yet the enemy came in and told them, you don't really have what God said you have. They didn't think right about their master.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is amazing. They didn't process how good God really was.
Mm-hmm.
They thought him to be lesser than what he actually was. And because of that, they listened to the enemy. And they lost what God had provided for them.
Amen.
So, yes, when we talk about being good stewards of what God's given us, yeah, I am talking about picking up your clothes off the floor, right? Like I'd teach my kids. Right? Taking care of the stuff that God's given you. Don't leaving piles of dishes of, you know, or don't leave your garage in a mess. Praise the Lord. But not only that, do we believe God's as good as he says he is? Enough so that when the enemy comes and says, if you'll just do it this way instead of the way God tells you to do it. If you'll just step out of God's flow and just go over here and go a different direction, you can get there faster. You don't have to be involved in God's way of doing things. You can just work two extra jobs and you'll get there faster. You don't have to tithe, right? You don't have to give your way. You can just work harder. And if we don't think right about our master, and if we don't realize that his word is enough, if we'll put his word into practice in our lives and do his word, that the blessing of the Lord will actually make us rich and he will add no sorrow to it when we do it his way.
Amen.
Instead of listening to the voices that say, no, just do it this natural way. Just come over here and forget that stuff. Just leave it. The problem is when you walk away from God's way, you walk away from God's things. You walk away from God's blessing.
Yes.
You walk away from God's increase. The problem is that people don't see increase fast enough. And in America especially, we like things fast. I want my coffee to be made fast. I don't want to wait around for 30 minutes to get my burger. I want it fast because that's the way our culture works.
Yes.
Yep.
But God's not giving it to us fast. He's giving it to us how we can handle it.
Yeah.
He's giving us 1,000 and seeing what we do with it.
Yeah.
He's giving us a measure of his anointing and seeing what you do with it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He's giving us a little and seeing what we'll do with it. And if we won't do anything with it except bury it in the dirt, what we did have will be given to someone else. Blah! Praise the Lord, it's so exciting. So when we talk about being good stewards of that which God has entrusted with us, we can look at natural things, we can look at spiritual things. Both are important to God. Both matter. We're to take care of what he's given to us in the natural and what he's given to us in the spirit realm. And when we pay attention to both areas properly, increase comes.
Mm-hmm.
New levels in God come, as well as new levels financially in natural things, because God can't increase you here without increasing you here. Does that make sense? He's all-encompassing. He will increase every area of our life, and he won't increase you in one area if you refuse to take care of other areas. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but for me, when we get back from our trip, I'm going to be doing some organizing and cleaning and taking care of some things, because naturally he's been dealing with me. This needs to come up. It needs to look better, because spiritually there's places he has for us that he can't take us to until this is attended to. Just me. You do you. Praise the Lord. But I want us all to increase. And I believe for us, one of the reasons we're getting this in December, this wonderful word from the Lord, is that we can make some adjustments and some tweaks and be ready to hit the new year running, be ready to increase. It doesn't take God a moment to increase you in certain areas if he sees us putting ourselves in the mix. Adam got in trouble because he didn't do the work intended to keep the garden. Part of that work was to protect what he had, take care of what he had. Now remember, we think work garden, we think after the fall, right? After the fall, when you go out to work on your garden, what are you doing? You're pulling weeds. You've got thorns coming up. You've got all kinds of things. That wasn't God's garden. That wasn't the Garden of Eden. There were no weeds. There was no issues of having to go out and till. We're not talking about working. It said after they got kicked out of the garden, after the curse came, then all of a sudden it was the sweat of his brow that he was working the land. He wasn't working the land with a shovel and a hoe, right? He wasn't out digging the dirt. His job was to protect that which the enemy was trying to bring in. His job was to take care of his wife and of the plants that were around him. Everything that God had provided for him, his job was to treat it correctly.
Amen.
Amen.
His job
treat it correctly.
Was to understand God gave me this, and I'm to be a good steward of what he's entrusted to me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll end that on that super happy note. Listen, the reason these things are in the scripture, the reason sometimes it steps on our toes or makes us, why? Because he's trying to bring us up. He's trying to help us straighten things out, keep things focused, right? Not to beat us up, not to go home and say, oh God, there's so much more I've got to do. No. With God's help, with the Spirit's help. Listen, he'll deal with you. Today's the day. Go clean the garage, right? It's not going to be hard if he's helping you. We look to the Spirit for all of our help, even in the natural. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying this to like go home and beat ourselves up. I'm saying let's get with the Spirit and see where can I come up. What do I need to tweak so that I can move further with you? Mm-hmm. What needs to change? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father, thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for your word. We love every part of your word. We're thankful for it. Lord, help us to be the best stewards of that which you've given to us. Show us where we need to adjust. Help us see how to do things in a more spiritual manner. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.